Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We have a new executive producer in Leesburg, Virginia. Doing it by himself today after getting everything together. Just a little glitch there. You saw us like pop in and pop out. And now here we are. We're ready to go and we are ready to believe you on a Monday in unsettled Southwest Florida, where we danced among the lightning bolts and the raindrops all weekend following my little all-star in his baseball career, which has suddenly taken on a life of its own, and it's something very, very special for the whole family. He is not getting a lot of playing time, but he was a late addition to the all-star team for 11 and under. And just to give you the logistics, I'll do it of yesterday. There was a game. There were two games over the weekend. The game yesterday was scheduled for noon at one particular field. Then when the forecast came in, they said, we can't do it at this particular field. We're going to go from where I live, the field very close by my home.
Right.
And then we switched to another Fort Myers location, and we got down there, and the game was it was going to be at noon in close to our home.
Right.
Then they switched it to 1 o'clock down in another field, and then we got down there, and I think the game started right around 1 o'clock, and then the rains came, and they'd played two innings. And it was determined because of the nature of the rain. Now, my wife and I brought chairs and umbrellas, so we just sat there in this pouring rain. And then it was determined that they were going to move it to a third field in North Fort Myers, which was about 8 or 9 miles
may
up the road.
May I ask this a question?
Yes, go
because
right ahead.
I've never been.
Please do.
My kids have never been in weather-reliant sports.
Yes.
So are they using like AccuWeather to trade?
They use down here.
It's
very involved, and because lightning's a big deal. And
sure.
Now they have this on golf courses. They have it at baseball recreational facilities, and that is a lightning alert system that they use. This was not based on lightning alert. This was based on a field being unplayable because of the rain they got, and then.
Because it can be so regional. Like, I know that my mom lives like 10 miles away, and I can get a shower like crazy.
Yeah, and you can get nothing. You know, 10 minutes up the road. Here's the deal. These games have to be played because this is all tied into the octopus that is the Little League World Series. This is I didn't know that. A week ago, I didn't know what the hell was going on. So these games. There's a time window. If it's regular Little League, you know, you go home and have Sunday dinner and you're like, thanks, we tried, and see you later. When it's the All-Star games that these kids are representing regions, and in my kid's case, the South Fort Myers 11 and under team, they got to get the games in. So that's how this works. So we're sitting there and the rains come, and it's heavy enough rain where Carla and I get credit for this. I was Johnny Umbrella. I said, we'll bring a couple of the chairs and two golf umbrellas, and we'll sit there. And she gave me props for that. And
did you have them in the car already, or did you have to transfer them?
We had them with us, that we brought them with us, and then we just sat there.
I always travel with an umbrella, yes.
Paralyzed as the rain really, really did come down. A lot of the other parents are underneath a covered area, and some of these fields have a shade-protected, rain-protected wooden awning with the bleachers underneath.
I thought those were for like the better parents.
It's the better state. It's the better facility.
I see.
In the case of the one close to my house, which I believe the name of they all have special names, these fields. I believe that the fields near my house are called neglect field. That's what it's called, neglect field, where after Ian, I think it was Ian. One of these hurricanes blew them apart.
Right.
And they never replaced the thing. Now, when you're dealing with 97-degree weather,
right,
it's a real nice thing to have a shaded area. And it's a really nice thing to have a shaded area when the rains come because it protects you against the rain.
Right.
The first field, well, we didn't even make it to the first field. And we're supposed to go back there tonight.
How do they keep in touch?
The championship game. What's that?
They keep in touch with you via text?
Yeah, there are. It's funny you're asking all these relevant questions because it is relevant to the way it works. There is a, I'm trying to think what this one's called. I don't remember what this one's called. There's GroupMe. There's this. There are different chats.
WhatsApp is the one that's very popular.
They have all these different apps that are used for communication, and this one's very efficient. It gives you schedules, but there's so much updating that needs to happen. And Carl and I try not to be the parents that get in the way with a dumb question because we know that's going to slow things down. But they gave an acronym for one of the facilities where the game was. I didn't remember the acronym.
Do you ever strategize and think, someone else will ask my dumb questions, so let me hang back?
1,000%.
I do it all the time.
1,000%. Let's wait and let that. But then we just, time is of the essence because we've got now, we're going from being in our backyard to a 40-minute drive to where this field is. And we got to know when because these things are happening dynamically. The weather's coming in. Changes are being made.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's what it is mad respect for all the people that volunteer to put these things on because there's no workaround. They've got to get certain games in.
Right.
And, God, what did I talk to? We talked to a kid that was, I think, one of the assistant managers, young guy, and he said he was at the third venue, and they were going to have to wait till the evening to play, and they played an inning.
And these
and
are
they'd
kids.
Moved that many times.
That's the weird thing about that. These
it's
are kids.
It's every age. It's, yeah. it's but age. Still. They're guys in uniforms walking around. It's pandemonium. And then we finally get to the third location. And you know that's very bad when you're out drinking, going to a third location.
The third location is always
bad
been
to go to a second location.
With
too,
drinking.
Right?
Yeah. Second location is sometimes okay.
Right.
Third is always trouble. And you arrive.
And we arrive and.
Does the third location have covered seats and bleachers?
The third location has covered bleachers. We still have our umbrellas. And we moved 10 miles up the road, and the whole system changed. It was broken clouds with blue sky, and it was. It's just been a weird weather weekend.
Do you know the lightning protocol? Because if it's not raining but there's lightning, what the protocol is?
All right, the lightning alert system, I believe the radius is 10 miles. If there's lightning hitting 10 miles away, it will trigger the system, and everybody has to take cover underneath some sort of
when
shelter.
I was calling the football games for our high school, it was you couldn't have a thunderclap or a lightning spot in the sky, I think, for 15 minutes before they could resume play?
Well, I think it's more distance than it is time. Distance.
This was a definite time thing, but then this was a little while ago,
well,
too.
Well, no. The time comes into play when you have an alert go off, and then you have to wait for the alert to clear.
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
And then when the alert clears, you can get back on there. So we are running all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And these are county facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain counties, there are people that pay a lot of attention to these areas, and then there are other county sections of the county that they don't pay a lot. So you got a variety of pieces that sometimes can be missing. Like, for example, the field we went to, the second venue, is a very nice field, and it's very well maintained. It looks really, really nice. However, there was not a scoreboard that was working at this particular field, and that's very frustrating
scoreboard that was broken?
There was a scoreboard out in center field that was not hooked up to anything. When we got to the third location,
yes,
I see the light go on out in center field. I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, because Carl and I set up right in back of home plate. just to watch the game. That's just where we are. Most of the parents,
like Larry King or Mary Hart, that's where you like to sit.
That's a good place. I've learned that I like that place. That's a good place to watch a game now that I've gotten used to the chain link in front of me. But most of the parents are, well, parents are hanging out everywhere. And so we get there, and I see the light go on. I said, well, this is cool.
Yeah.
At least we'll be able to keep track of what's going on. Because when your kid's not playing a lot, you still are engaged in the team, and you want to see how the team's doing and what the score is. So the light comes on, and then I see that they bring out this it looks like my vocal processor, which I can't disconnect now.
Okay.
But it's a box that's about this big,
okay,
and it's got all the buttons on it, and it's the scoreboard, and
fun.
It's the mobile scoreboard.
Fun.
And there's an electrical box behind home plate and a wire going into the electrical box, and the person who brings out the scoreboard sits it on top of the electrical box, and that's where it stays. And then somebody comes over and makes kind of a comment about, I'm not getting involved with that, blah, blah, blah. It goes back and forth, back and forth. And I am sitting immediately to the right of this machine. And I have to tell you this.
Yeah.
Because, I think that I always accuse you of your obsessive compulsive behavior. I believe that anybody in our business might have a touch of it.
Oh, of course.
I'm a little there when it comes to the score. I like to know what the score is. I like to see it. Balls and strikes being kept accurately, and I'm a little obsessive.
Yeah.
So if I can demonstrate the way I'm looking at the field, looking at the scoreboard. I'm obsessed with it, and I think two dads came over and kind of looked at it.
Yeah.
It's a fearful piece of equipment. No one is running it. No one has made the attempt to. It's not being done. It's not being done. I don't know how it's doled out, how it's assigned, whatever.
In football, it is run by another ref that is actually up in the press box. And what we used to get at Tuscarora was a guy that kept putting his glasses up to see the field and then down to go third.
That would be me.
And four.
That would be That's me.
You.
But I'm able to do it. But this I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah.
One dad comes over, takes a peek. Then one of our fathers comes over and takes a peek. So I don't know about that. And I said, well,
use of that.
And I look at it. Then I stand up and I swear to God, I hear Carly go, oh, God. And so she sees.
Yeah, I know you call me Johnny Suburbia, but I can just see three dads with their hands on their hips.
Because we're just
looking at the machine.
You look at it. And this is the time where if Josh was here, he probably would bring one up. He'd probably be offering
Mike,
his insight.
Actually, Mike, it's funny you should mention. Let us go live to Paris.
All right. There he is. Hi.
Hi.
Middle of the day in Paris, France.
It is 2:30. And, we have issues with the Little League scoreboard as well.
Oh, right. Good. Okay. You're in Paris, and it appears to be you appear to be outdoors.
A cafe, Mike.
I am in a cafe.
Yes.
Because.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just any cafe. I am inside of the Louvre.
Oh,
you're inside the Louvre right now, the Mona Lisa Louvre.
I am. This cafe is the only place that Wi-Fi seemed to work for me.
It's working a little bit. The audio is not what it was when you were in the airport lounge, but it's still pretty cool that we're talking to you in Paris. So in case there's any issue with it, I want to get it all out of the way, and we'll get back to my baseball story.
Right.
I want to deal with you. How was your weekend? How was the travel? Everything goes smoothly. Give us an update.
Do not fly Norse Airways.
Northwest, did you say?
Northwest no longer exists.
I was going to say, North Airways, I've not heard of this.
What was the airline again?
North.
N-O-R-S-E?
Yes.
Oh, North.
Don't fly them. Big ripoff, but I can fill all that in on Wednesday's show when I have a better connection.
Okay. All right.
So flight was not good. Went to a communion service at Westminster Abbey Church yesterday. That was very good.
Fun.
That was pretty neat.
And you arrived in England. You've had your time in London, and now you have arrived in Paris. How long will you be spending in Paris?
I leave on Wednesday morning.
So if you're going to compare the two, did you just open a soda? Rob, did you just open a soda?
No, I didn't.
I am filled with people eating and drinking all around me. Someone else.
Mike, a francophone opened a soda. Some French-speaking person.
I think it was Owen.
How are you finding Paris?
I just arrived.
Okay, you just arrived. All right.
So you're not too tired?
I put my bags in storage, and I walked here. I just got here 15 minutes ago.
And how did you get to Paris? Did you tunnel it? Did you fly?
No, it was a train through the tunnel.
Okay.
And then hustled onto a taxi.
Okay.
And taken here.
And so you're going to have two lovely days in Paris, France. Yes. And then what will be your next destination after Paris?
Somewhere in Italy. I don't remember the order.
Somewhere in Italy.
A day at a time.
Okay, that's fine. I get it.
Mike, we did a real solid breakdown of his itinerary as a TMOS extra. So if you want to follow along with Josh, make sure you listen.
Okay.
But are you enjoying train travel as I thought you would?
Oh, yeah. It was so much better than the flight. I'll take trains any day.
This is so cool. I'm so appreciative of you taking time out of your long-awaited trip to Europe to do this. This is very kind of you to join us for that. I did not think you were going to be there every day. You probably won't be able to be there every day.
If the Wi-Fi is good in my Airbnb, which I'll find out later today, I believe I'm doing Wednesday's show with Rob.
Good. Okay, that's awesome. I look forward to that. That'll be awesome. Two cooking segments for French cooking.
Yeah, and Joshua, he luckily brought a hot plate, and they let it through on Norse Airlines. And so he's going to make something famous.
Everybody's happy, healthy, enjoying weather okay?
Weather's been great. It's been perfect.
Tell us why the airline, Norse, N-O-R-C-S-E, Norse, why it sucks so bad.
Well, I told you before, we were only going with carry-ons. So my carry-on was 2 pounds too heavy, and they wouldn't let me move anything into my backpack. Instead, I had to pay $85 to check it.
That's not cool.
And then I had to just bang and force and prove that my backpack can fit in their little metal box so that it would go under the seat. And then had to check. Then they decided that everyone else's backpacks were too big, so had to pay for those.
And ended up
paying $85 times 3 to check bags.
$255.
Sounds like a racket.
It's a racket.
Yeah.
No conversation with us at Orlando on figuring it out or anything. Just give us your money.
Mike, here's the motto of Norse Atlantic Airways.
Okay.
We're the Explorers Airline, making long-haul travel affordable for all.
They are the Spirit Airlines of international travel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's terrific.
I did not know it was possible to have a 9-hour flight with no Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. That's by the way, I don't think you got to lay it on that airline because that's all of them. I think it's well over 70% of airliners don't have Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks.
And then I'll tell you, all that fight about my bag fitting under the seat, I get to my seat, and there's no under seat for me. It's just a wall. So it had to go up top anyway.
Are you in a bulkhead?
No. No, I had to put my stuff up top. And, no, I got a seat right in front of the bathroom. The bathroom was right in front of me.
That is convenient.
I slept as much as I could. Every time I woke up from the kid kicking me, it was to the nice smell of curry and the bathroom.
So this is a budget buster airline, Norse.
Enough that I looked to see if I could cancel and purchase another air flight home. Not possible.
Really? Wow.
Way too expensive.
Oh, my God.
Well, you've got a couple days before that happens, so you can get yourself ready for the flight. But, Josh, I want you to, as you talk about your 2 days in Paris, I'm sure Mike would want to know if you've allowed any time for shopping.
Oh, yeah, there's been time for shopping. Spent a lot of time at a toy store yesterday. Some thrift shopping, a market.
So. Are you pre-Louvre or post-Louvre? Have you been into the Louvre yet, or are you going into the Louvre?
I have walked into the Louvre and went straight to the cafe.
Okay, so you haven't...
I got myself a nice lemon meringue.
Okay.
Oh, look at that.
That's very nice.
That's a very light close. Parisian snack.
And yep. the family is sitting here waiting for me to finish with you so we can go on inside.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
We're going to go do that.
Go ahead, and I want a full report on the Louvre. I want to find out about that. Thank you for checking in. Robbie's doing a great job, and everything seems to be hitting on all eight. So, and I heard your kids there, and the family's having a good time. Any final words from Paris before we let you go to the Louvre?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Oh, that means good day. Yeah. Bye, Josh.
Bye, Josh. Thank you. Thank
you know
you
what's
very...
exciting? That's the first time anyone has worn a Spiewak-themed T-shirt into the Louvre.
I didn't notice it. That's
he was
awesome.
Wearing the Bob Spiewak Water Carnival shirt.
That is so cool. That is so cool. That's wonderful. It's great that he's checking in. We appreciate that.
20 years or so as a radio guy, and to know that just with the click of something, we're talking to someone in Paris.
Yeah, a little bad audio as far as the, you know, a little tinny, but that's fine.
Just incredible.
Yeah, that's so super cool. And have you ever heard of it? Had you ever heard of that Norse airline?
No, but I'm not an explorer, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, strange.
Do you think Josh is really in Paris?
I think he's faking the whole thing. I think he's actually. Yeah, he's in Ocala, Florida. That's where he is right now.
He's eating oranges hand over fist.
No, this is cool. Doesn't he seem peppy and happy?
Yeah, he's
right?
having a good day. He was, if you listen to the extra, he's very excited, even though that his lovely wife, Kelly, has everything charted down to, I think, by the hour.
Wow.
Including the shopping. There's shopping in every place.
But as far as I'm concerned, I would probably not mind that. Right? I wouldn't mind putting my brain on hold and just following along. Or maybe I would hate that.
I think if you've got 48 hours in Paris, it would be great to have like a game plan. The last time I was in Europe, I think, was we had 3 or 4 days in Munich. And that's a city you can just walk around and marvel at what you see.
Right.
But Paris, you need to go to certain places. Like you have to make sure you hit the cathedral and the Louvre and the Eiffel Tower and all that stuff. So he's having dinner tonight at the Eiffel Tower, I think.
That's cool. Yeah. I will tell you that is one of my, the game ain't over yet, as I like to say, Rob. But it is one of the things that I truly
have. Bruce Dern said in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Game ain't over yet.
I have to, I have a travel deficit. I have not traveled a lot. I traveled a lot for work and in the United States mostly, and a little international travel.
Mike,
but I
like to call them pleasure trips.
Yeah, sure. I don't like traveling with idiots. But anyway, it's something that I don't. Here's the way I look at travel.
Yeah,
it's something that I regret. That I haven't seen enough of the world, but at the same time, when I'm in the middle of it, even on a short flight, if I'm flying anywhere, I hate it. I hate
flights.
I
suck.
Hate air travel. I
but
hate it.
Getting there
so
is
much.
Great. I mean, your parents
arriving there is great.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Once you're there, were your parents travelers?
Yeah.
At all? Okay.
Yeah. My father had a job. My dad had a job. That was called Director of Marketing Services for Aetna Life and Casualty, which was the in-house advertising department of an insurance company. He started as a copywriter. I mean, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. My dad was in kind of that advertising broadcasting, and we relate to that a little bit with the spots that we do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But he hustle that he had within his job is that he and my mom were chosen by his boss to host the independent insurance agents conventions and to go out and represent Aetna Life and Casualty.
Right.
And they got this for, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years where they would go every year. They would go to Hawaii and they would go to San Francisco.
Wow.
And my mom and dad loved it. And what it was, the way it was explained to me, was really going out there and hosting cocktail parties for the independent
insurance agents. What you describe is very 1950s like television.
Mad Men. Yeah, it's very Mad Men. It is. And that's what they did. But anyway, it's kind of cool for me just to have him check in like this. I appreciate that. Let me get back to where
baseball
I was.
Baseball machine. Yeah, you had the electronic baseball.
So,
and one thing I want to ask, because it's troubled me. If no one's there attending the machine that's hooked up down at the
backstop, you're not going to have the score on the board.
Okay, it's not automatic. They just plugged it in and left it.
Yeah, yeah. They plug it in, and then somebody makes a comment about, I don't want to mess it up, or I don't, and they go and then another dad looks at it, and then this other dad that's a team dad from our team looks at it, and we look at it together, and I finally said, well, at least we could put the score up. And I look down and I see the plus sign home team. By the way, we're thumping the other team. We're thumping them.
That's great.
Like 9, 10, 11 runs.
Now you're all focused on the game and you're focused on the machine.
Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm thinking at the very least, if I get this button correct, I will be able to at least put the score up. And as soon as I hit, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's not difficult.
But it's not a walk in the park, but it's not super. Once you just say, I put the score in and I see 1-2, I'm like, okay, I got that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just pressing runs up until the time. And then I look over and I'm like, well, if I can do this. And by the way, we had moved to the rain came in the second inning.
Okay.
So we have just finished the second inning. We're now in the third inning, and
is the box getting wet? Does that hurt the box?
No. There's no. We're at a dry location now.
Okay.
We're at the third baseball location
of
the day.
Right. So busy. Yes.
And I walk and let me see about the inning, and I see and I put third inning, and I'm like, okay, this is working. And then I look over and I'm like, I said, Carla, slide the chair over. And she slides over to the right, and I slide in, and I put the thing on my lap. And I said to myself, let's go. Let's go for it. Look, my kid is not getting a lot of playing time. We're the new family. We don't know all these parents that have been playing up until this point. So we're just we're trying to be as helpful as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And so,
you're one step away from bringing a PA system that you bought at Costco and calling the game.
Here's how I feel about it.
Yes.
I am so obsessive compulsive about other people not getting the score right that I have found my, to be honest with you, if this was the machine that's used for all the games, Rob, I do it at every single game.
Until
I would
the
do
second
it at
game.
Every single game. Well, who knows? But I start doing it, and I start doing balls, strikes, outs, and I'm not screwing up. And
that's cool.
I end up from the third inning until the game was over. The game was over very soon because we scored that many runs, and they cut it off at a certain point when it's a blow, it's a mercy rule. And so, but I had a blast, and it was fun
to be a part of it. And it's not, you don't sit down and automatically know how to work the thing, but it is fun to get to know the thing.
And there are a few things on there, like if I had a chance to go out to the old ball yard, plug it in, and play with it, I might know some strategies there. Because there are certain scoreboards where they actually have a pitch count for the pitchers that are up there. I don't know about that if I want to do that. But they won, and they're playing again tonight, weather permitting. I woke up this morning at about 5:30 Eastern time to the light show outside my window as the – how about that? Give that fan a contract.
That's Mike brings his own sound effects next time.
And my kid got on at bat, and he walked.
That's
he got
cool.
on base, and
That's
then he
cool.
got thrown out at home.
Well,
unfortunately.
But they still won. And isn't that
what matters? They won. He got thrown out at home, and the coaches and myself included. It was close, but we kind of thought he slid under the tag. But we also thought that with the score of the game, that umpire probably wanted to just get out of there.
Was it a heavy umpire?
No, it was a young umpire. It was a kid. It was a kid.
There seems to be a sort of a lack of mid-range umpires. They're either 18 or 58.
It's or maybe older than that. I think it might be more like 15 or 78. Might be the temperature.
Honey, where's my light blue shirt?
But I will tell you that this is not an activity, running a scoreboard, for anyone that does not have significant focus. You have to be in it, and
did you ever have to like take a leak and leave it to someone else?
No,
to do it?
But due to the visit to my friend Mr. Mark Miller the previous evening, I requested a beverage from Mrs. O'Mara. I don't know if I ever got it. The game was over very
Can
soon after I started.
Recreate.
Doing it.
I know you're something of a daunting mimic.
Yes.
Could you recreate the ask of Carla for the beverage?
Carla, I need a drink. Carla, could you get me a Gatorade, please? Please get me a Gatorade. It was
no
a very,
sunflower seeds when you're hungover, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, I had the sunflower seeds.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
But none of that when the scorekeeper's at work. No,
busy.
You can't. You're not going to spit those husks onto the electronic scoreboard that you have when you do it.
You have to shake it out like the bottom of a toaster.
Yeah, and I still haven't mastered the spit. I sent a husk like almost over to the feet of a lady sitting to the right of me, and Carla said, "Be careful."
In some cultures, that's how you initiate conversation.
or a romantic relationship.
And that, too. Have you ever gotten home and found one of the sunflower seeds
between
your
two pillows?
No, in your beard.
No.
That would be horribly embarrassing.
No, there are certainly many that reside in the crotch when you stand up from your easy chair.
Yeah, but you're not taking them home between clenched buttock, are you? I mean,
I threw about a quarter of a bag away.
Wasteful.
I wasn't gonna, it is wasteful. I could have, if I really wanted to be super meticulous, I could have put them in a Ziploc and taken them to the next game.
Did you open the bag sloppy? And that
I opened the bag efficiently.
Good for you.
And it's just a peel off of the corner, and then I do the drill where I throw a few in the mouth and put them down between the cheek and gum, and then
right, yeah,
that's the way it is. It was.
Wouldn't it be
fun.
Great if those seeds you threw away in that rainy game, if you came back a few weeks later and there were giant sunflowers reaching to the sky?
Here's the thing about being a parent. All right.
Yes.
I've managed, and excuse me, I didn't have a real problem with parents. I really didn't when I managed. It was very, very cool. Had a couple of assistant coaches that were a pain, but other than that, it was, you know, whatever. But I will yeah? Did you open the door? Michael?
Michael, come here.
I don't know. I don't know if I left it open. Somebody opened the door. Anyway, getting back to it.
Your place isn't haunted. It was Michael.
Well, he's home. By the way, Friday was the last day of school. So, Michael, are you here?
For my son, too.
I don't know. I don't know where he is.
Does he have a friend over? Are they pranking you?
No, but Stubby's in here. What's going on out there?
Is there a house fire?
I don't know what's going on. I got the dog in here. Hi, Stub. Stubby came in for a visit. Look at that. He's just coming in, hopping into
Does that mean there's a problem in the main house?
I don't really.
Oh, look at him. Hi, Stub. There he is. And he's 100% pit bull, right?
I don't know what he is.
He's a good boy.
Hello, dear Stubby. Say hi.
How does he do in thunderstorms? You know, when the thunderstorms
come
in?
Better than Winslow.
Okay. Linus was never bothered, but we had some serious thunder this weekend. And he always comes and sits, like when he was a puppy, he sits beside me by the wall. And he's all freaked out by thunderstorms. But he's a crazy old man.
All right, well, I want to deal with that. Michael! I don't know what's going on. My house is out of control, Rob.
Is your wife out of the home?
Carlos, I don't know where anybody is. Help! All right, forget it.
Joel Rosenbaum says he looks like a boxer.
Well, he's got... Hi, you want to come back up here? Come on.
Stub!
He wants to come back up. Hello, hi, all right.
Because he's supposed to be a terrier, right? A New England...
He's supposed to be a Boston Terrier.
Boston Terrier, yeah.
He's supposed to be a Boston Terrier.
But he's boxer and pit and beagle.
Let me see if I can zoom in on him a little bit. Hold on.
Well, he's camera shy.
All right, hold on. Let
Oh, his ears are up. God, that's the best thing when a dog puts their ears up. I love it. Sweet boy.
Stubby, there's the camera.
Hi, buddy. Well, he doesn't have headphones. Hi, buddy.
There he is.
Oh, his fur is beautiful.
See his blue eye? He's got one blue eye, one brown eye.
Stop. Oh, like David Bowie.
There he is.
Yeah. And he's also bisexual.
All right. Enough of that. Let me put this
down. That is enough of that. There. Indeed.
That's enough of that. I'll put him down. Michael! What the hell's going on?
King of your castle.
My house is out of control. Summer's begun.
It has.
Summer has begun, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got the news, and later on, more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. I might get to it. I might not. It's what the world's become, and
yeah.
I hate it, and I think that we need to identify it more and speak out. So I might do it anyway. But if that sounds like a tease that's making some people roll their eyes, well, F you. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the mic.
That's very nice. Well, F you.
Thank you. Well, F you and your families, too. This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack and hydration sponsor. This is cool. They've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on two special edition products, a salted caramel chip protein bar and a yuzu mango hydration mix. Guess what? They are out of this world. This collaboration grew out of Chef Keller's daily regimen of IQ Bar products and combines IQ Bar's nutritional excellence with Keller's culinary expertise. IQ Bar's plant protein bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. The salted caramel chip IQ Bar has 12 grams of protein and only 1 gram of sugar, plus brain-boosting nutrients like lion's mane adaptogen. They taste great, but I love them because they make me feel good. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. Text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. There's nothing better than finding a great cigar at an even better price, and that's why I love Thompson Cigar. They've been around since 1915, so they know a thing or two about cigars. Whether it's a quick five-pack for the weekend or joining one of their value clubs, Thompson makes it easy to save while enjoying top-notch cigars. Thompson also has one of the largest humidors in America, so they guarantee fresh cigars shipped right to your door every time. Thompson's knowledgeable team is available to help you find the perfect cigar, and their expert curated and customer curated clubs make discovering new cigars fun and affordable. With a 100% satisfaction guarantee, Thompson ensures you'll enjoy every cigar you order. Light 'em up! Visit ThompsonCigar.com today and explore their incredible selection of cigars and unbeatable deals. Enjoy up to 20% off orders of $75 or more. That's ThompsonCigar.com and use code TMOS at checkout. Discover why Thompson has been America's humidor since 1915. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who trust Thompson for quality, value, and exceptional service. Some exclusions apply.
Visit ThompsonCigar.com/TMOS or use the code TMOS at checkout for 20% off your order of $75 or more.
That's the way that goes. Oh, let me start.
Yes, please.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no.
Mike, I'd like to tell you something, if I may.
Yes.
Are you groovy with that?
I am
groovy. I don't have ants in my house this year. I always have had ants every springtime.
Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
And I got this Pesty product. It took like 10 minutes to apply it to my entire house, and I have not seen one ant all year.
Pesty.
Yes. Is
Pesty.
Great. I thought you were going to take it from there.
No, I'm doing my best.
So they mail you a package. What you do is you give
you
them where you
me?
Live. Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you still see me yet?
I can still see you.
You can still see me?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
It's beautiful. They will send you a package based on where you live. They'll like get your... You just popped back, Mike. You have two cameras going now?
I do. I think so.
Okay, I'm going to kick you out on one of them, if that's
okay.
All right,
thank you. Thank you very much.
The thing about Pesty, it's funny. Kick guest. Guest gone. Okay. Pesty, they send you everything you need, including a rechargeable sprayer. You feel like you're big time. They send you gloves.
Big time.
Gloves. Yeah. and this will kill 100 different species of bugs, including scorpions, I believe. But stink bugs and ants and all the stuff you don't want in your house, ladybugs. Just go and spray the perimeter of your house, and they're dead. It's fantastic. It's so easy. And we're talking like maybe $35 a treatment is where it starts. If you get a guy that comes out to your house, you're looking at $800 a year minimum.
Minimum.
So you can save the money that way. Isn't that great?
Isn't that great?
Do you have the call to action by any chance?
I will in a second here.
Oh, that's great.
I will in a second. Here I am worried about you, and look at me.
No, it is now June in the Washington, D.C. area. And
June is busting out all over,
Mike,
Rob.
And also in many parts of the world, it is also June. And that means warmer weather in many places. And these bugs are coming. And you would think, wouldn't it be great to control these bugs and do it in a financially responsible way?
Now
and
is
even
the time
with a bonus
to protect your home from bugs with Pesty.
Yes.
Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off. Thank you, Pesty.
Yeah, Pesty's great.
Now you can hit the thing.
Oh, do the thing? Yeah, here we go.
The whole thing here is that my house is out of control because
I understand.
There are not, normally it's just me and kids are in school and all that wonderful
stuff. And dogs
stuff
are
going
not
on.
Coming into the broadcast headquarters.
No. Can you get the dog out of here, please, and shut the door? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know what? And it just occurred to me, you're not even in the garage anymore. You're in the house and all this nonsense is going on.
I've been in the garage for a year, Rob.
I know, but I just recalled. Come on.
I understand.
Mike, no matter what, you still look the same because of your Hollywood-styled set.
Oh, shut up. Alan Alda has paid respects to his supremely talented MASH co-star, Loretta Swit. This is for the oldsters in our audience. Loretta Swit was Hot Lips and the show... Hot Lips Houlihan. The show was iconic in that this goes back to the era of television when you had pretty much three choices.
Yep.
And it was appointment television where everybody would gather around and watch it every single week. And MASH was part of our deal. Everybody's deal. Everybody watched
MASH.
It was
new. The new angle on MASH is I think it was the first show, even with a laugh track, that would build in serious drama into the comedy. I think that was sort of an unseen form. We see it a lot now. But I think that was the first show to really bill itself as a situation comedy, but have some real dramatic moments because of the wartime background.
Well, they're all old now. Loretta passed at 87. In a post on X, Alan Alda, who played Hawkeye Pierce on the show, and a lot of older people in our listening audience remember watching this every week, she was Major Margaret Houlihan through all 11 seasons. She said the actress deserved the 10, count them, 10 Emmy nominations that she received, winning two in 1980 and 1982, right around the time I graduated from college.
One of the Emmys was for Best Music. She won. No, I'm kidding. It's not true. She was an actress.
Yeah. What's the joke?
It's that she would never win anything for Best Music because she's an actress.
Okay.
It's not really a joke.
Thank
let
you.
Me,
right.
Let me
that's,
save
that's
it
what
if I can.
I wanted you to say that. It wasn't a joke.
Let's look at a clip of Swit. May we?
This is the Loretta Swit playing Hot Lips Houlihan on MASH.
Here we go.
Captain, I know this may sound like a frivolous question, but what the hell are you doing?
Loretta Swit won two Emmys for her portrayal of Major Margaret Houlihan, head nurse in a Mobile Army surgical hospital during the Korean War.
Her ambition was to be the best damn nurse in Korea. I tried to help her achieve that.
I wonder if she had any work done.
You know, you're not nice. She's old.
I'm in a defensive crouch because a lot of people are saying that thanks to Stump the Mimic, we killed her. Because of the Harry Morgan reference.
I agree.
I don't think it's why we killed her. I don't
Rob's
think we
fault.
Killed her. Is it my fault on this one?
I think it is. I think you killed her.
Well, I'm sorry to all the Swits.
In 80 and 82, she won. Here's what Alan Alda said. More than acting her part, she created it. She said that Loretta Swit brought life into the Houlihan character. She worked hard in showing the writing staff how they could turn the character from a one-joke sexist stereotype into a real person with real feelings and ambitions. And here's the thing about MASH. And yeah. I have to be honest about MASH.
Okay.
MASH is a classic example of a television show that stayed on too long.
I agree.
And it stayed on too long. And some might argue, and this is not to cast any aspersions on her role as Hot Lips with Larry Linville playing her lover and interest
yeah,
in the show.
They boned.
But they... I know that she brought more depth to the character, but that... And it was, yes, was it a sexist stereotype? Yes, it was. But in like the movie,
yeah.
MASH, that was the bit. And I think that probably she gets credit for adding more depth to the character to make as the series continued. But the series continued and continued mm-hmm. and continued.
Did you like anything from the Charles Emerson Winchester years? Do you think you think that when Larry Linville left, that was the.
I think when McLean Stevenson, as much as I liked Harry Morgan,
yeah.
and I did an impression of Harry Morgan, I think when McLean Stevenson left is when that show started to jump the shark. And then when you put on Klinger as a regular character and gave him, you know, it was not my cup of tea.
And you're not even mentioning After MASH.
Now, I don't even remember After MASH. You
the season
who know
after,
everything about pop culture. You
the
know,
season
I mean, you
after
know.
MASH left the television, they brought a series. I believe it was a CBS station in the same time slot
okay.
where it was after the Korean War. And I know Jamie Farr was working in the same hospital as Harry Morgan. And it lasted for about 2/3 of an episode.
Okay, and of course, you know, of course Jamie Farr was on that
yeah,
show.
Is he with us? Know? I think Jamie Farr is still with us.
I think he might be.
Yeah, he's from Toledo, you know.
I'm glad you knew that.
I saw him there.
Very clever, boys. Very clever.
But yeah, and also I don't think MASH, although historical in its scope, has aged well. I don't like to look at MASH now that it's gone. I don't think it's aged particularly well.
Yeah, because it kind of looks phony.
Yeah, it does.
It looks like the back lot of a mm-hmm. California.
Oh, and
location.
Father Mulcahy was also at the hospital, Mike, in After MASH.
Yeah, of course. All the third tier characters were there. None of the other characters.
William Christopher
that.
And his jocularity.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, let's move along.
Please.
Safe travels home.
So
to,
long, Swit.
Loretta Swit. Speaking of people that are older, Clint Eastwood just turned 95 on Saturday. He has no intention of slowing down.
From what?
I don't know. He's still doing it.
He still directs
major movie making. Mm-hmm. He is currently in the pre-production stage for a new movie, emphasis on the new. Clint says his philosophy as a filmmaker is, quote, do something new or stay at home. I'm down with this.
Yeah,
I
know what's new?
I believe in this.
Go to a political convention and talk to a chair. No one's ever done this.
I know he's done the politics thing, and you love to reference that he talked to a chair. Clint says his philosophy as a filmmaker is, quote, do something new. He said, I long for the good old days when screenwriters wrote movies like Casablanca in small bungalows on the studio lot when everyone had a new idea. We live in an era of remakes and franchises. We do. And thank God for streaming, because without streaming, I think we wouldn't have any new ideas at all. Mm-hmm. I think it would all be Marvel movies. That's all we'd be looking at. Here's what Clint says. Says, I've shot sequels 3 times. But I haven't been interested in that for a long while. He hasn't. Clint Eastwood's made a lot of very, very new movies.
He made 2 orangutan movies. He made 4 Dirty Harry movies?
Probably.
Yeah.
That was a great character, Harry Callahan.
But I like when he's just Clint. I like what was the one where he's the guy who had the Gran Torino or Torino?
Yes.
Where he was the old
you
man.
You liked that because, you know, he was you loved his racial epithets.
That's why
you're able to call it to mind right now. You remember that because you liked it when he was making the Asian slurs. That's what you enjoyed about it.
He was just good as an old man. That's all I'm saying.
Clint added
And by the way, how dare you?
Okay. Clint added that there's no reason why a man can't get better with age. Here's his quote. I have much more experience today. Sure, there are directors who lose their touch at a certain age, but I'm not one of them. Hey, 95, getting it done. I'll work as long as I can, still learning something. No, I'll work as long as I can still learn something or until I'm truly senile.
Wow. Okay, good for him. And who judges that?
Clint.
Okay, that's fine then. You know what? He's a legendary one-take director. If he gets what he likes in the first take, he doesn't. He moves on.
Well, that's a nice insight. See, yeah. That's wonderful. It wasn't just talking to the chair. You brought a real Clint Eastwood insight into the show.
Thank you, Ricky Gervais,
Rob.
Funny man.
Got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Friday. He explained how he deals with his haters. He doesn't. That's a gift to not deal with them. I wish I could share that gift. I don't.
I think we've all tried.
He said, quote, you know, you've got to polarize, I think. You need to know that if you're doing anything of any worth, as many people hate you as love you. But the ones that hate you shouldn't affect you. The ones that love you, they buy your house. So I'd like to thank them. He added, quote, we've had a few weird years of cancel culture, people telling you what you can and can't laugh at or talk about, but we pushed back and we won. Did they? Did they really win?
Maybe they're winning. I don't know if they've won. Yeah.
I will tell you that I don't know. The answer is I really don't know whether they have won or not, but I would love to see more Ricky on award shows. He was the best. I'd love to see him bring him back. I really would.
And just his occasional tweets, I guess you can still call them that, or posts on the social media are still really funny. Mm-hmm. And also, I have a certain special part in my heart for the true, true haters, because the true, true haters, I think deep down, are more addicted to the shows than the people that love them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. For example, I kept watching This Is Us until the last episode and got pissed off every time I watched it, but I still watched it because I hated it.
It's a weird thing, and we know more than most what that experience is like, and it is the land of weird. I don't think I'll ever be able to figure it out, where it really comes from, where the real venom comes from.
Look within, Mike.
It's very, very, it comes from me, myself, and I. Those three people. Movie sets can be dangerous places.
Indeed.
I give you a few. I don't know how many of these I'll share with you. These are real examples. Brendan Fraser was almost suffocated for real during a scene in The Mummy where they tried to hang him. They also tried to hang Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future Part 3. Well, they shouldn't have made Part 3. In my humble opinion.
Well, Part 3 was, didn't they make it concurrently with 2, so it was like a cheap movie because they were had everyone together anyway?
I don't know.
Does it open to a larger house?
I don't know. Michael J. Fox lost consciousness when a hanging scene went wrong. Do you remember the scene?
No.
That they hang him?
I mostly stick to the first one in that trilogy. And Brendan Fraser also almost suffocated in the whale makeup.
That's true. It was very, very tough for him. Well, I know I read something that said it was tough for him to do that.
Yeah,
to be in that suit.
Well, they gave him the option of gaining the weight.
Yeah, he didn't want to have that fun.
Didn't want to have that.
Here's the one I really kind of found interesting. Almost 100 people were poisoned on the set of Titanic when someone spiked some chowder. Do you know what they spiked it with?
Wasn't it LSD?
PCP.
Oh,
very close.
Worse. I spelled
Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio weren't working that day. The culprit has never been caught, but James Cameron says he has a pretty strong suspicion who did it. It's pretty heavy-duty, dark stuff to put a drug into that.
It was Victor Garber who did it, the guy who played the ship's architect.
Is that the one with the British accent?
Yes. It's...
She's Titanic. Yeah. That guy?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. Let's see. The hair and makeup guy was kidnapped from the set of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet in Mexico. They only had to pay $300 to get him back.
Well, he must have been good then.
This one was famous back in the day.
Yeah.
1982. Vic Morrow and two Vietnamese child actors were killed while making Twilight Zone, the movie, with a helicopter crash. Landed on them,
yeah,
actually,
that,
when this
that
happened.
Movie, for me, is ruined by the notion of that. Because it's not a bad movie.
No, it's not, but I remember a massive Hollywood story.
Oh,
and
God,
regulations changed
so
the way
sad,
they did stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Caviezel was struck by lightning while filming the Sermon on the Mount in The Passion of the Christ. That's amazing.
So was Dr. Beeper.
Right. Hold on. Josh Schroeder has texted me. Let me see.
Oh, what did he say?
Hold on. Let's see.
This just in from Paris, France.
Oh, he's got, it's a, I believe it might be the Mona Lisa.
Let yeah, me open it is, I believe.
All right. Oh, there it is. A lot of people for one. Well, yes, Josh, it's the Mona Lisa. He's obviously complaining about the crowds. That's a, is that a Sirocco line
that,
there?
That is, I believe.
A lot of people for one painting.
No,
yeah.
And right now he's turning to his wife and saying, there's no crowds at the cafe. No crowds at the cafe.
I want to go and eat my meringue.
I have meringue to
eat.
Way
to go. And finally, Bo Derek was attacked by a lion for real during the filming of Tarzan the Ape Man.
Wow.
That would have been funnier if she was attacked by Dudley Moore in the movie 10. But she was not, fortunately.
Running on the beach, yeah.
Let's see. If you were rating yourself, how would you grade your trustworthiness, honesty, empathy, creativity, patience, artistic ability, dancing ability, and your ability to cook without a microwave? Let's just leave it at trustworthiness.
A plus how would you, for me.
What's that?
A plus. 100% trustworthy.
Oh, yeah.
How about you? Probably the same.
Dogs are barking now. In a comprehensive new poll, more than...
God, what's with them?
It's summertime. Summertime, summertime, summertime.
Or Mike, summertime!
Yeah, there we are. In a comprehensive new poll, more than 70% of Americans believe they are above average or far above average in trustworthiness, loyalty, and honesty. More than 60% believe they're above average in ethics, leading, reading ability, empathy, open-mindedness. This just goes on and on and on. I think it's all a lie.
You do?
That's what I want to say about this
okay.
story.
I found you. I find you to be very empathetic, Mike.
I think I am empathetic.
You are. I'm saying it truthfully.
Yeah, I do. Not as bad as I used to. When I say bad, it used to be I'm the kind of person, if I go into a restaurant and somebody's eating alone, yes. it weirds me out. It's a strange thing. It's empathy that can really make you ruin an afternoon.
When I see sometimes. A singleton in a restaurant, I just go by and just loud enough for them to hear, I go, oh, that's a shame.
That's a shame. Enjoy your enjoy your chicken. Finally today, two hikers in New York's Adirondack Mountains called 911 to report a third member of their party had died. But it took, what was that?
The, you know what? You get sweat on your drink and the coaster lifts up and then falls off. My bad.
It's not bad enough that I've got the dogs here in summer.
I'm just,
you
Mike, I'm showing
house
empathy.
And you're making a racket.
Showing empathy with the Elvis coaster.
Well, the hikers called 911, said a member of their party, a third member, had died. It turned out they had taken hallucinogenic mushrooms, and they were mistaken, according to officials. I don't know who the officials are, but anyway.
Johnny Mushroom.
A state forest ranger responded to a call on Saturday about a hiker who had reportedly died on Cascade Mountain. That's a popular summit in the Adirondacks. The two hikers who called 911 also told a steward on the mountain summit that they were lost. Is that a ranger? What's a steward? Somebody like with a bow tie up there? What's
well,
going on?
Well, if you
on?
Tip him, you get a better table on the mountain.
So the steward, or I guess the that's an official. He determined that the hikers were in an altered state of their mental capacity.
Hello, this is the steward, and I have a comment about the hikers.
Then the supposedly dead person also called 911. And explain that he was not even injured. It's a weird story. I don't know.
This is.
The ranger escorted the two mushroom-influenced hikers down to an ambulance, which took them to a hospital. And the third guy, or girl, it doesn't even say, the third hiker, who was not dead,
right,
was brought back to the group's campsite. Where they all got together later and everything moved
was
on.
Was the third person who was not dead, were they in an altered state?
All I know is when the two mushroom-tripping hikers got back to the campsite yes. and saw their third one, they looked at him and said, what are you doing here? That's all I have. I don't know. That
I
is
love
a
it.
Dumb story. That is
like
a very, very
that,
dumb story.
You know, when they got back to the fire, you know what kind of chairs they sat in?
Adirondack chairs.
Ah! So comfortable.
That's exciting. We will take a break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into what police have to really deal with and what our world's becoming, and I think we need to call it out. All right? Hey, do you want to be like the most interesting person at the next big party? You want to do that, huh?
Yeah,
do you?
Sure.
All right, you need to go to the next party, and you need to make it like a European adventure that you had with the new Chicago Pope. I don't know what I'm reading here. What am I supposed to
say here? Don't say you went on a European adventure and had an audience with the new Chicago Pope, because that's a lie.
Oh, all right. Let me try.
What you need to do, Mike, is bring an independently crafted bottle of wine.
I got it.
From our friends at Naked Wines. And here's Mike to tell you more.
How would you... I'm having trouble, as you can tell, with my
screen. You're fine.
Today. Would you like to be the most interesting person at the next big party you go to? Don't talk endlessly about your European adventure and that you had an audience with the new Chicago Pope, because that is a lie.
It's a lie.
Instead, show up with a bottle of wine with a truly unique story. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a case of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. With our code, you can get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99, plus pause or cancel at any time. You need to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Went to my buddy Millsy's house the other night. Brought over a bottle of wine. It's fantastic.
Just
I know
one.
It'll be good. Just one. Yeah, well, we didn't drink that one yet. Go to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Put in our code TMOS for both the code and password. You, my friend, will get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's nakedwines.com/TMOS and code TMOS. 6 bottles, $39.99. Arrivederci. All
right, that's right. Yeah.
I got to deal with this because it's been bugging me. This is an old video.
It's in your craw.
This is an old video from about 8, when I say old, about 8 months ago. And the way time flies on the internet, this is what it is. I really, really think that a lot of the troubles that we have is that a certain type of individual behavior has not necessarily been normalized, but has been tweaked up, where smaller minds, more unstable minds, will feel like they can get away with this. And the diversity that we have, and the anti-diversity movement, and the anti-woke movement in our country has resulted in a lot of people thinking that certain behaviors are okay. Now this guy I'm going to show you is a wingnut. Mm-hmm. He's unstable, obviously. But as far as peace officers are concerned, I'm going to roll as much of this as I can see and watch the way these professional officers of the law deal with this asshole. Okay. And it is stunning. What it involves is the use of the N-word. You have a white officer, and then an African-American officer shows up, and this guy, just without hesitation, starts doing this. And I want you to see how professionals, you know, we see a lot of videos about cops doing things that are wrong occasionally. This is cops that I couldn't do it. Okay. I couldn't sustain it. Roll this tape and take a look at this jag.
Is it impressive? Because you were in diapers at the very best.
He's talking to the white
Probably,
cop.
Yeah.
Now he sees the other cop.
Were you born in 92?
Yeah.
You were in diapers.
Yeah.
Okay, young. Are we done?
No, not yet.
Well, let me leave.
No, not yet.
Take me to jail.
No, not yet.
United States Navy veteran, and don't you forget it.
Okay.
Good for you, idiot.
Wow.
And now he sees the African American, and it says the N-word.
Okay. Let's not go there, okay?
If you don't like it, take me to jail. Take me to jail, bud. If you don't like it, what are you gonna do?
Okay. If you don't like it, I need you to stop being disorderly in public, please. Okay?
Take me to jail.
Let's take him for disorderly. I'm good. We got kids in the store.
Are you going to stop?
I'm sitting here trying to get medicine for my toe that might be cut off.
Okay. Well, you're screaming out racial slurs with a whole bunch of people around and kids. And what was
that?
Does
it again.
Wow.
I was talking to this.
And I'm asking you, what did you just say there?
What did I say to you?
You have no issue saying it, so go ahead and tell him what you said.
She is so controlled.
I'll tell you right now.
She is.
If you throw out another racial slur with people standing here, you're going to go to jail. So stop.
And he does it.
Come here.
There we go.
1095.
You know, you think really, when you think about police
officers. Who's our caller and do they want them barred?
And what they have to deal with. And, I mean, it's just, you know, in the middle of a Target where there are people running around.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on. Now, skip ahead a little bit, Rob. Let's get where he gets to the jail.
Yeah. Where's my hat?
He's actually.
Actually, you can take it to where they get in the car. Where they
get in the car.
He's in the car because the African American officer is driving him in the car. Here we go.
Okay, so we're in the car now.
Hey, Shane.
Hey.
Oh, we're taking him. He just spit in Young's face. So
he spit
he's
in
going.
The other officer's face.
Yeah, you might look and see if you've dealt with him before.
Everybody else has.
Oh, so he has a reputation.
I'm
nice.
I've been calling him in a month. So.
Okay.
Now I know what he looks
out.
Like.
Okay.
What he looks like, too.
Hey there.
All right. We got him.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
She's such a cool customer.
Yep.
You know, and.
Are you going to spit on me? Hey, Rick. Hang tight. Will you come and help me seatbelt him in, please?
I mean, literally a credit to the badge when you handle a situation like that, that coolly.
Yeah. And, I mean, I just, I know that people like this have been around for years and years and years. But this is really more, this is a twofold commentary. And we can turn it off now. A twofold commentary that. And he starts talking about watermelon, and he starts doing this, and it's just constant, and it's relentless. And it's just, you know, do you think it's a stretch to say that this kind of crap, we see more of it today than we saw 20 years ago?
Because, and I know a lot of people.
People are going to say I'm full of crap.
No, no, but, I don't think so. People will say that we beat this drum too much, but social media has allowed these outliers to find each other.
Yep.
And years past, if you were the one person in the neighborhood who had that sort of outlook, you probably kept it on the DL because you didn't want people to think you were an a-hole. Which
now,
online,
you find kindred spirits.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
You can meet them and do everything
and
you want.
And these little minds can do this. And I am telling you, but the second part.
And with
part,
the power of the internet behind him when he says, go on, take me to jail.
Yeah.
You know, what?
And by the
what?
Way, the second part of this is the peace officers that are out there every day. And I don't know why I've been thinking about it so much. Maybe because I've seen an awful lot of bad driving down here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people recently getting pulled over. They've been having quite a few speed traps very close to where I live. And every single day, you know, any way you slice it, the people that are out there that are putting their asses on the line to deal with people like this. And that you never really know.
You don't.
When you pull that car over, you never really know. And I hope and I pray that the training for these officers is the reason that it seems to be getting better for them, and I really hope it is. Now, are there bad apples? In every profession, there are bad apples. But these two police officers handled themselves, especially the African-American woman, in such a way that it's just a credit to the badge and a credit. And you know what? I tell my son when we're out walking around, if he's still little enough where he sees a Lee County sheriff walking around, I said, tell him thank you for what you do. Tell him thank you. And I think that's a good thing to do because they put their ass out there and they got to do it. And not just the danger, which is omnipresent, but the fact that they're dealing with some scumbag like this that throws this out there, and you know, and
I do have one question.
Yeah,
I know we didn't watch the whole video, but
there's a lot more. Believe it or not, you can skip anywhere. Yeah. They take the guy to jail. He's doing it in jail. They put him in the car. He's doing it in the car. He's just
Yeah. Did he ever get his toe medicine?
I think
he's worried about his toe.
Do you think maybe if those cameras weren't around, maybe they'd help him with that toe?
You like know, a, you just
with a well-placed heel and a steel-toed boot. So anyway.
I'm predicting it was probably the small toe on his left foot, and he probably dropped something on it. And while he's in jail, it's going to fall off.
I'm a big believer in the world of comedy that you can let stuff slide. But I'm also a very big believer that if something is said, I think you need to call it out. And I think more of us need to call it out now. When there's and I'm not talking about the world of jokes. I'm somebody who laughs my ass off when Michael Che writes his jokes for Colin Jost. I think it's silly and fun. I think that that is absolutely laughing at stereotypes. That's
how
healthy.
You take them down.
That's
how you destroy them. Yeah.
But when somebody's out there, and I did it when I did it 30 years ago to a next door neighbor who never spoke with me again. When this person legitimately walked up to me, my next door neighbor, and said, "Did you hear that we have N-words moving into the neighborhood?" And I told her, looked her straight in the eye, first of all, it wouldn't bother me at all. Second of all, I don't think you should throw that word out there. This is a long time ago. This is like 1987. I said, this is 1987. How the world has changed now. Anyway. Yeah.
I didn't know you live next to Ina Garten.
That's a good time to break. Thank you. Needed a light moment after that. We will take a break. And we will come back with Rob Spiewak and gas station snacks.
Yes.
Because, we do that little heavy, little light. We do everything on the show. But, you see a bigot, call him out. That's my advice to you, ladies and gentlemen. Just like that guy. And I tell you. The door fell open. Anyway, I want to talk about DermGlow Skin. This is noted waffle enthusiast Mike O'Mara. Let me brag about Carla. She's my current wife. Stop it. Don't say that in the copy.
They're not a lie there. That's absolutely true.
She's absolutely crushing it as she helps people look and feel amazing. I hear her on the phone with people all day. At DermGlow, it's all about real skincare. Clinical-grade products, customized treatments, and results you can see. I was in Carla's chair 1 week ago, and I got the treatment. I got the peel. I got the DermGlow treatment, DermGlow Skin. Carla is your go-to for weight loss as well. She's there for wellness. She's a telehealth connector. She can hook you up with GLP-1s. Those are the game-changing meds everybody's talking about to lose serious weight. Plus, there's NAD Plus for energy. There's glutathione for detox and more. All doctor-approved and shipped right to your door. The best part, fast, easy, and there are payment plans so anyone can do it. No huge upfront cost. You take a quiz, you get approved, and it comes right to your home. It's wonderful. It helps people every day. Go to DermGlowSkin.com right now. Whether it's for skin, weight, or wellness, Carla's got your back. That's DermGlowSkin.com. And yes, tell her Mike sent you. Carla will never disappoint. She's never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Never going to run around and desert you. Never going to make you cry. Never going to say goodbye.
Oh, no.
Never
going
to tell. Well, I went to Miller's Saturday night and hurt you. Now go in peace. Thank you. Thank you all very much. From the serious topic to the ridiculous topic of gas station snacks. Is that what you've been thinking about?
Yeah, well, I think, I did some road travel with Robert when I was on break. And when you stop and get like a road snack, I think it's different than snacks you keep in your house. Because they have to be sort of portable, not messy, and available likely in a gas station.
Right.
Because that's where you're going to stop. So Mental Floss, I did a little research. Mental Floss did the top gas station snacks. And I hate most of these.
Just before you read this.
Yeah.
We're going to the Great White North. We are going all the way up to Maine. And we have got, we're going to be logging many, many hours on the road.
That's why it's important you stop by in Doswell, Virginia, and spend an hour under the tower when we meet people at at the Eiffel Tower this summer.
Not going to happen.
I'd love to see you there.
Probably we'll be flying by. We're not even going to see Jimmy. We're actually.
Oh, are you forsaking that?
No, we're doing the first day as long as we can, and we won't make it to quite to Virginia. This is the thing. We are already, we discussed this yesterday. We will be bringing an Uber cooler in the car.
Smart.
And we will be bringing our own stuff. The healthy stuff, the delicious stuff, because I know what you're going to share with us, and it's a lot of go ahead and share your nasty.
I'll start at, and you can simply ding or buzz whether you agree whether this would be a travel snack.
Ding
for
yummy, buzz for crap.
Yeah, I have actually the top 11.
Okay.
At number 11, peanut M&Ms.
I'm not going to give it a ding or a buzz because peanut M&Ms, you know, it's candy. It's not good for you.
No.
So, and to be perfectly honest.
But peanut M&Ms are that's the top tier of M&Ms, don't you think?
Yeah, but not, you know, you can go without the candy.
Okay.
Candy is not dandy.
All right.
You know, it's candy may be dandy, but sex won't rot your teeth.
That's right, Mike. 90, this is the most expensive snack on the list. At number 10, Flamin' Hot Cheetos at just under $6.
Not the Flamin' Hot. I'm sorry. I have to give it a no. Regular Cheeto, I would be more inclined to.
But don't you think the Cheeto is a bad road snack because of the Cheetle that you get on your fingers, that yellow stuff?
I gave it a buzz, and you can include that as well. Absolutely.
Okay. In the same ballpark, but a little cheaper, 30 cents cheaper, Nacho Cheese Doritos.
I'm going to give that a ding. You know, if you're really in a pinch and you want to have something. And by the way, the candy bar, I don't know if it's on there or not. Snickers. Is Snickers on there?
Snickers coming in at number 6.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want to.
That's all right.
Ahead.
That's fine.
Go
but,
ahead.
Yeah. I will preemptively buzz number 8. Starburst Minis. Starburst is a lousy candy to begin with, and making it smaller doesn't help.
I'm not sure I agree with Starburst being a lousy candy, but I don't care for the snack being candy. I don't think it does you any good.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be hungry in 10 minutes. It's not
How
good.
About, then you must be way into number 7.
Okay.
The popular second-tier salty snack, Bugles.
Now, so far you are simply writing down, salty,
yep,
cheap snacks with...
station snacks, to be fair. And
depends
I think
on what the
gas station
is. If you go into that, we have the new Wawa right here that we just got. You can go and get yourself a nice Italian sub. A little,
but that's not really a snack, is it?
Well, yeah. I consider that a snack. You know, it's lunch, maybe.
Okay,
maybe
well,
not
yeah.
A snack. All right, go ahead.
Mike, number 6 is your Snickers. And by the way, do you know the average price of a Snickers bar is now $1.85?
That's everything in the world right now. Everything in the world right now is exploding, and inflation is not under control, Rob Spiewak.
I understand. Mike, do you have enough money left after the tariffs to buy Chex Mix?
Chex Mix, I give that a buzz. That is garbage. I do not care for that.
I agree. And also, too many variants. Maybe there's pretzel sticks. Maybe there's peanuts. You don't know.
Yeah.
Rice, corn, all
don't
the
Don't you
Chex.
Find it a cheap excuse to get pretzels into a snack bag? Really?
Yeah,
you know,
I do.
If you're not really a pretzel person, and I'm not a pretzel
Utz
person.
Yeah, Utz used to sell a big jar of something they called like Tavern Mix. And it just looked like they swept up the floor at the Utz factory. It looked like just refuse and
unidentifiable shapes
like factory
of carbohydrate products that are
factory
gross.
Seconds.
Right.
At number 4, one that Robert will get invariably when he goes to a place like this, the taquito off the Rolling Grill. Robert loves a taquito.
I am not that familiar with that. That's a real 7-Eleven thing, right?
Yeah, I like
Isn't
them.
It the taquito?
I like them. Mm-hmm.
Of course you like them. Mm-hmm. And you like tater tot casserole, too.
I do, yeah.
There
and
you
it's
go.
But moderation, Mike. I probably will go through all today without having a taquito.
My father said, moderation, Rob, and all things, including moderation.
This is true. This is true. Mm-hmm. But the taquito is a good. It's a good dollar.
What is it wrapped in? Is it like meat in the middle of it?
It's meat and some cheese, I believe.
Is it like a taco?
It is, but it's round that you can eat.
By the way, if you ever want one of those confections at like your Taco Bell, please pronounce it taco.
Taco,
not taco. Taco.
I was watching an old Hitchcock movie.
We need
last
more
night.
Taco seasoning.
I was watching a Hitchcock movie the other night, and I watched it largely because of you. It had Bruce Dern in it. It was Hitchcock's last films.
Well, it looks like Mr. Spiewak wants a taco.
So there was a blurb in the write-up about it. It said, "Why?" Bruce Dern asked Alfred Hitchcock, "Why did you cast me?" He said, "Because Mr. Pacino wanted $1 million, and Hitchcock doesn't play $1 million. He said, okay, anyway, and then it was a year later he figured out.
I don't understand. What do you mean? What are you saying? What?
He said,
why did he cast him? About $1 million?
Yeah, because he said that Pacino wanted $1 million to be cast, and I don't pay $1 million. And it was sometime later that Bruce Dern.
So the other actor wanted $1 million.
And he was referring to Al Pacino.
Oh, Pacino. Wow.
That's how Hitchcock referred to him.
Wow. And now the most recent Bruce Dern would have been Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino movie where can't you see that I'm blind?
He gave it all. He gave it all. Mike, number three, an overrated candy on all levels, in my opinion, Skittles. I don't like Skittles.
You don't like fruit-flavored candy?
Not many, no.
You like Good and Fruity?
Yeah, I will eat gummy fruity candies, yes. Okay, but I also like Mike and Ike's, and I also like Good and Plenty's. Good and Plenty's are licorice. Number two, I think, is a pretty strong choice, the Rice Krispie Treat. Even though it's prepackaged and not a homemade, they are always good.
There are some that you can get at a convenience store that are not necessarily the Kellogg's prepackaged ones, but are made by local people. I like them when they're homemade. They can be fantastic. There was one
with a hair in it.
There was one. Where were we going? Oh, I don't remember. It was like the greatest Rice Krispie treat I've ever had. The reason I don't like the prepackaged in the gas station is because I think that's a product that is best homemade.
And
absolutely
fresh.
Fresh.
You don't want it to get too together. Now, Mike,
I eat that right after my taco. Yes, what's number one?
Number one, you can guess this because we haven't mentioned it yet. I'll give you a hint. It is protein related. And it was a name used by Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies.
It was a name
used by Jethro, a pseudonym for Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies. It's a protein, and it's the number one gas station snack.
It's not a Slim Jim, is it?
No.
All right, hold on.
I think he was a movie producer when he used this name.
Oh, man. Protein.
It's obvious. It's right in front of you. Think of what you see at a snack place for a gas station.
At a gas
station. It's usually its own section. And it's not served hot. So don't think roller hot dog or anything like that.
All right. So it's not a hot dog. It's not a Slim Jim, but it's a protein.
Yeah, with a tremendous
shelf
life. And it's
savory. I would assume it's savory.
Yeah, and in different flavors, too. They do it in different flavors. But I would say, of all of these, it's probably the most shelf-stable product we've talked about.
And protein. Mm-hmm. And savory. So it's not a candy. It's not a sweet. Mm-mm. It's something that... And does it come in a bag?
Yes, it does.
A bag. A bag of
But protein. You can also... You know what? That's not a good question, because it can also come in a single wrapper. But it can come in a bag as well.
Is it pig skin? That
oh, no. It's not those. It's not the fried pork rinds.
Pork rinds. It's not a those. Pork rind.
No.
One more hint, please. One more hint for me.
I would say my favorite flavor of it is teriyaki.
Teriyaki. I'm out. I have no
idea. Mike, I'm sorry that you did not get the gas station food challenge. We're talking about beef jerky. Beef
well, that's
jerky.
A Slim Jim. That's the same thing. It's
not
the same
at all.
Product.
No, a Slim Jim is like totally manufactured and man-made and full of all weird chemicals. Beef jerky's just dry
meat. I'm a fan. I like beef jerky.
I like jerky, too.
I really like beef jerky. And I have a friend. I like it so much, I have a friend named Jerky that I'd like to say hi to. All right, we have to break.
Do you call him and tell him good night?
Good night. Like all my
Sweet
friends.
Sweet dreams.
When I say good night, and I love that video from last week. We will take a break when we return. Ladies and gentlemen, where the hell are we? We're almost out of show.
We have an ethos spot.
Yes.
And then we will do beautiful video.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Rob Spiewak. We'll be right back with that. I want to tell you about Ethos. We are sponsored today by them. Ethos, they ask, would your family be prepared financially if anything were to happen to you? The last thing you want your family to worry about is how they're going to pay the bills. But with life insurance from Ethos, your family is protected. I always thought that the traditional life insurance process was complicated, but Ethos is an online platform that makes getting life insurance fast and easy. You can protect your family's future in minutes, not months. There's no complicated process, and it's 100% online. No medical exam required. You just answer a few health questions. You can get same-day coverage without ever leaving your house. 3 million families have completed their application and trusted Ethos to help find the right coverage. You should too. It's more affordable than you think, and I've seen folks that really have to struggle when a loved one passes. Yes. You can prevent this. Protect yourself and protect your family. Make things easy for everybody. Protect your family with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/TMOS. That's ethos.com/TMOS, everybody.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Cherry time.
How's the weather?
77 WABC brings you up to the minute reports from the ionospheric weather checker.
Mike, it's the ionospheric weather checker. That's
your
AccuWeather
weather and tide timetable are brought to you by your official Chesapeake Bay Yacht Club's association station.
And the new headline is, go to the fourth baseball field.
Yes.
Mike, what is your favorite line, I think, from Tommy Boy? It's one that we go back to a lot.
Richard.
It involves insects.
It involves insects. It has a hard candy shell.
Bees! Thank you!
They're ripping my flesh off! Yes.
This is a pretty horrifying piece of video, but also, I gotta love people in a beekeeper's hat. I'd like to get one just to wear around the house.
Covering sure. Whatcom County, where there's a swarm of bees on the loose after a truck filled with hives crashed and overturned.
Oh,
250 million bees escaped, shutting down a wide camp road between Loomis Trail and West Badger.
Where the hell are we?
By the way,
where's West Badger Road? I'd like to know
right
what state.
It's near Loomis Trail Road.
Okay, very good. Yes.
I'm troubled by the number 250 million bees. How accurate is that count?
I mean, well, I think you have to check the bee census. You know, it's a big deal. Can we see them again? Can
yes.
we see the bees?
Work
yes.
to save the bees.
Look at that.
When they said 200 million bees, they meant it.
Hundreds of millions of bees angrily.
How'd you like to be the camera guy going in to report at KOMO News and saying, we got one for you out on the road?
Man.
Swarming after the truck carrying them in their hives crashed.
So when I heard that this had happened, we thought, we got the suits. Let's go and see what we can do and help.
Beekeeper Derek Condit shared this video with me. A dozen or more beekeepers from several local counties working to save as many bees as possible.
So we're basically one by one rebuilding the beehives over there, putting the frames back in and then having to stack them.
And will the bees just go back into their hives or no?
It's a percentage thing. In this case, no, there's going to be massive losses.
It calms them down with the smoke. Sometimes it works. When they're really angry like this, it doesn't really work too well.
We've had a number of the beekeepers. They've gotten stung, as well as a couple of our deputies.
Throughout the course of being here,
Denise
I got
Whitaker.
Stung right on
wow,
the eyebrow.
Denise.
My photographer got stung a couple times on the cheek, but I'm told they're honeybees. The stings aren't that bad.
Yeah, Denise. Yeah, okay. Why did she make that sexy?
I don't know. I think
I'm told. The stings aren't that bad because they're honeybees.
I'm told that when they called Denise at her home, the cameraman was already there. Oh, Denise.
I think I'm going to wear my fringe top.
I'm here, bees. I'm Denise Whitaker. Mike, when you go to the airport, keep an eye on your kid. Please,
okay.
keep
right.
an eye on your
what
kid.
What happened? Two cops happened to be within earshot
this is
of
at,
this mishap as
Newark,
it took place
Newark
up
Airport.
On the third floor where they were on a foot patrol. They quickly heard that this was not a normal situation.
See that conveyor belt? It is not a ride. You and I know that, but for a 2.5-year-old who's curious and adventurous, it may look like fun. That's what apparently happened at the JetBlue counter at Terminal A at Newark Liberty Airport. The Port Authority confirms that while a mom was at the ticket counter, her toddler managed
and would you
to
be
get
interviewed
onto
after
the conveyor
this?
Belt right near it, sending the little boy down a chute and into the luggage system.
Wow.
Immediately, staff called Port Authority police, and two officers climbed down into the system.
Something that happened in the blink of an eye.
He looks like a beekeeper.
The president of the Port Authority Police Union says the two cops were able to move fast into the system, which was vital.
There was a split in the belts. One officer went toward one direction, one went toward the other direction. One of them was able to observe the child. As the child was approaching, one of the X-ray units.
It's lucky because
as the child was approaching the luggage shredder, that the child was identified as Violet Bick. As this,
the bad thing is, if they hadn't gotten him, the mother had not put a tag on him.
Right.
So there's no idea where he would have been.
The child was unfortunately sucked into the chocolate river with Augustus Gloop, and always gets back to Willy
feel
Wonka.
Sorry for Wonka.
He lost a fortune in fudge.
Now, Mike, when you go to the pet store, do you ever see? And I know you go to the pet store.
I go to the pet store more than most people, probably.
I know you go there a lot, Damone. When you go there, do you ever see people that seem unsavory, bad types?
Oh yeah, big time weirdos.
Do you think there's a lot of shoplifting?
At the pet store, there's shoplifting everywhere, Rob. Theft control is a major problem at retail outlets.
But no one knows better than me, but I've never heard a story like this before.
Seville Pet Store is searching for a man they say stole an animal worth hundreds of dollars. Surveillance video shows the man appearing to play with a ferret at a Petland on Beach Boulevard. Sydney Deshawn reports on what happens next immediately following this clip.
This is Ferguson, one of the store's remaining ferrets, who's been missing his playmate Stella ever since. Staff members say this all.
Is there anything in the world better than local news coverage?
Nothing at all. You know, hot girl with a ferret.
That's right.
Give me it all day long. Yes.
In the aisle of PetSmart or wherever
she is. All after a man managed to steal her in broad daylight.
I was pretty shocked on the events of how it took place.
This is Jeanette Clemente, a store lead at Petland. She says a stolen ferret named Stella had been at the store for just over a month and quickly became a favorite among staff. The store sharing this surveillance video with me, showing what appears to be a man stealing Stella.
Oh, it's supposed to be kid-friendly in here. It's supposed to be. And then he's putting down his pants in an inappropriate way. Unacceptable.
Mike, where's the best place to steal a ferret?
Petland.
In my pants.
God almighty. People. What's wrong with people, really?
And I like that he was wearing the same sort of shiny shorts that guy probably would wear to Mons Venus.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, remember that? Yeah, I remember that.
I do.
You tell stories about that. Yeah, wear those. Ew, it's gross. I won't even share it. Ew.
Okay, Mike, let's close with this. Sometimes revenge is a dessert best served cold.
Okay.
And this lady found out some revenge that her ex-boyfriend heaped upon her, I believe, 7 years ago, and she only just figured it out.
Today I realized that I think my ex-boyfriend got the best possible breakup revenge that anyone could ever get. We dated like 7 years ago. I've had a persistent sinus infection ever since he and I stayed in a hotel one night after I had surgery. And he farted terribly. Like, I couldn't breathe. I've never, ever. It's not anything that even compares to that. And I got my sinus infection cultured today. I've gotten it like imaged. I've had all these tests done.
So 7 years of this.
Doctors haven't been able to figure it out. And it is E. coli. And you usually don't get E. coli in your sinuses because E. coli is from poop. So like, I don't know. How does that get in your sinuses unless you have a boyfriend who farts disgustingly and you are forced to inhale it because you are immobile after ankle surgery? Oh my God.
Mike.
Gross.
Is the name of the game.
Yeah. And, let me just say, yes. All right?
Yeah.
Let me just say for that boyfriend, there are two sides to every story, lady. All right.
Two sides
to every story.
If you are just a disinterested observer, do you think the fart was aimed or just ambient?
You know what? All I know is, I can't wait till Josh on his vacation goes to the fabulous Dutch Oven restaurant. That's going to be
That's in Holland.
In Holland, when he gets that to that part of his European travels. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Job well done, Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
And
good show.
Enjoy your travels, Josh. We'll talk hopefully to him again tomorrow from Paris, France.
That's
in Europe, you know. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
So long, folks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Slide, Mike slide, O'Malley, slide.
Radio Entertainment.
There you go.
That's it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, folks.